John chapter 1 this morning, as we continue our study in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John chapter 1, we're in the prologue, and this morning we're going to be considering together verses 6 through 12, and we'll read the first 18 verses. This is found on page 1127 in those Bibles in front of you. Let's give our attention to the Word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me.' For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known." There ends the reading of God's Word. The reason studying John's prologue is so important and helpful is that what it's doing is introducing us to all the major themes in the book. And it's showing us basically the way that we are to read the book and understand the book. That is why it is important not to move too quickly through it. You want to stop and let it set in a bit because these are major themes that the book is going to show us and unpack for us. One of the sad things, of course, in our day, as we pick up from where we left off last time, is that the issues that the culture has made as the issues are not really the issues in the Scriptures. You look at all of the causes that people get up for in the morning. You look at all the causes that people are living for and that are driving them. You can go down the line with causes. This is one of the great concerns I have in the church today, that we don't lose the cause of Scripture, because people are going to find on that day, 1 Corinthians, that many of the causes they have been pursuing, even in Christianity, were not built on the foundation, and it all will be burned up. It really did accomplish nothing. That's why the prologue is so important of John. John has introduced us to the most important issue that we will ever have to face in this life, the greatest claim made to us in this life. The witness and claim of John here, as we're reading it, is the witness and claim of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. For John, and for the whole Bible, He is the answer to this present darkness. He is the answer to all of the misery and all of the sadness and all of the grief and all of the pain that you are experiencing. And that's why we looked at this last time with the themes of light and darkness and life, as you'll notice. The first sermon title, as we were looking at creation and looking at how the prologue right at the beginning is set up next to it, in light of what was said at creation, it's not let there be light, but John is really saying, let there be life now in the new creation by the work of Jesus. This is going to be emphasized for us in many ways throughout this book by having us look this morning particularly at how this light was brought to us, how this light comes to us, light that gives life. And that's the marvel of that glorious statement there. It's just a beautiful statement in verse 4. In Him was life. And the life, His life, is the light of men. That's a beautiful statement. His life is your light in this world. And there is no other light. The only answer you're ever going to get from God. And it's the best one. As we come to the table this morning, that's what I want us to think about. If you've received the light, if you have been given the light, if you've believed the light, if you have embraced this light, then you are the most blessed person ever to live on the face of the earth. You really are. God has been wonderful to you because much of the world right now does not know this. By and large, the world has not received this. And even His own, when He came, did not receive it. So what does that say today if you see Jesus? What does that say today if you have received Him? Well, then God has been absolutely wonderful to you. God has loved you with an everlasting love, and you have every reason to leave this place the most joyful, happy person ever to live on the face of the earth. Ever. So that's what we're looking at this morning. We're going to look at before us this gracious gift of God so that we see here how the light was brought to us in the witness about the light, the evidence of that witness of the light, and then the response to this light. That's the basic breakdown that is set in front of you and John is working with here in verses 6 through 12. I want you to notice again the emphasis that is in verse 6 as John has now shifted to another thought, another theme, and that theme is about witness now. There was a man named John, sent from God. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. When we're looking here at witness and this important theme of witness at the beginning here, the book is highlighting the witness of John the Baptist, and he came, you remember, and he was the forerunner. He was the one preparing the way. He told everyone about Jesus. Now, that seems so simple. This was his great mission. His great mission was to bear witness about Jesus, to talk about Jesus, to make known Jesus. I thought to myself as I was preparing it this week, this is really not much difference than what's happening now. We're just post-cross. But think about what's happening right now. Something is being pressed upon us right now. Something is being pressed upon this place and around the world today that is happening, and it's a claim, isn't it? It's a claim. The Christian faith is based on a testimony and a deposit of truth that is given, and God has set apart a vast array of people all throughout history to bear witness to and about this light. That's the point, about the light, about Jesus. God has always maintained throughout history a witness about His Son. A lot of people don't think about this. We're so used to coming to church, and maybe we didn't even give much thought to this morning at all. The special thing that's happening right now, this has become so normal to us and so expected to us. But I want you to think about how wonderful and the point that John is really making that should set home in our hearts of how remarkable it is that we have this witness. The thesis of the book is, these things are written that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you would have life in His name. That's John 20, 31. That's the whole point of the book. That's what everything's aiming to. That what you believe about Jesus Christ is very important, who He is, and then receiving that witness, believing that witness, you receive from Him life. Come back to that right at the end. Life. Well, here we are this morning looking at this great truth, this claim that has been made throughout history and the way that this has been witnessed to throughout history. Think of what was presented last week, the claim. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God. At the creation as we know it, the Word was. When everything had this beginning as we know it and was spoken into existence, the Word was. And we looked at how the Greeks understood the word logos or logos, however you want to say it, logos, and how the Jews would have understood the logos as a principle. You'll notice here that he is helping us understand. You want to talk about the logos and all of your principles and all of your ways? Let me introduce you to the true logos. The logos was, notice, in the beginning was the Word. He was before the face of God. There's distinction. And then it said so beautifully, the Word was God. Whole Trinitarian presentation of Jesus right at the beginning. He goes on, as we looked at, in Him was light and life, and the life was the light of men. So in all the darkness of this world, in all of the sadness of this world, He is the light. He is the life that God has announced that lights up everything. From this Word, we get light and life. And then He introduces the Word to us in verse 14 that we couldn't get away from last week, because we know who's being presented to us. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. We saw who He is. Now, many people come after these sort of statements. Cults have attacked it all throughout history. They say, this is crazy. This is madness. You guys believe in a phantom God. Where's the proof to all of this? You guys are all taken with false notions, and you just come, and this is how Christianity is looked at in our culture today too. That's why they want to stamp it out. They see it as utterly stupid, utterly foolish what we're doing right now. Let's challenge that claim for a minute. Let's challenge it. The Bible answers that claim, that charge. The Bible answers that statement of unbelief, and it says, consider the witness. Consider the witness. And it's not just one witness, it's witnesses. This is a big theme in John. Everyone knew, as he starts with here, the witness of John the Baptist. If you would have gone back to that time, everyone knew John the Baptist was a great figure. Everyone knew he was a prophet from God. But there was a great problem. People weren't coming and listening to John carefully. People weren't coming and understanding what John was doing. John was out and they thought, wow, what a fiery preacher. We want to hear this guy. We want to see this guy. We know he's a prophet from God. And they came to see John. Well, what was John doing? This theme of witness is very important. The Jews were rejecting the message of John. And in doing that, they were rejecting everything that John was aiming for, and that was Jesus. This becomes the larger theme in the book. The Jews would often, the nation of Israel would reject him, and how would Jesus handle this? How would Jesus handle the claims of people, the charges of people against him and unbelief in him? People who would say in our day, well, I don't see things. I don't see enough, which is a remarkable thing, because even in front of them, Jesus did countless miracles and they still didn't believe. Remember what he said? Remember the little parable he told where the rich man went down into hell and he said, look, just send them somebody. And Jesus was so clear that even if I pulled somebody out of the grave to come back and witness, they still won't believe. I have to hold that thought because I'm going to come back to that. But I want to take you on a few verses here so you see. Turn to John 5 for a minute. I want you to see how prevalent the theme of witness is. Witnesses to Jesus. You'll notice he raises the issue of John the Baptist here, Jesus himself, in John 5, verse 33. You sent to John, and he has bore witness borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and a shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. So you saw him for who he is. You saw him as a mighty prophet. What do you think he was out doing? What do you think John's purpose was? I think this is a crucial question. Why do people, what gets people to hear today? Why do people come to church today? What is the purpose people come to church today? Why do they come? You could almost apply this directly across the board. Some thoughts, of course, about John were, you know, he must have been the Messiah. They came to see John. They were impressed with this great pastor, this great great figure. How many people come to church today? Why are they coming? Well, they're coming to see somebody. They're coming to hear something. We know today it's so tied up with the talents and the abilities of the pastor. John was as talented as they get. Powerful to sit under. But did you notice what the prologue said about John's mission? John's whole purpose was to bear witness to the light. He is not the light. Did you catch that? He came to bear witness to the light. So here's Jesus saying, do you really consider what John was saying to you? Did you really consider the witness that John was bringing? Jesus now, in the middle of John 5, raises all these witnesses. He says in verse 5, you search the scriptures in John 5 because you think, and we're in verse 39, you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about who? Me. That's another witness. Okay, so we now have John the Baptist who's witnessing about Jesus. And now Jesus says, the whole scriptures are about me. He goes on, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Theme of the book. Do not think that I will accuse you to my Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, listen to this, he says it again, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? That is a striking statement. John is so unique because he just stood so close to Jesus. That's why he's the greatest. What Jesus just did is undermine everything that's happened even in our day. Most people read the Bible, and how is the Bible preached by and large today? The Bible is preached as a good set of way of morality and morals for you to please God, a way for you to feel good about yourself. How many people today believe still, isn't this amazing, after all these years of Christianity and its message, still have no clue about its basic message and believe that if they do enough good deeds, if they are moral enough, they will make it to heaven. Well, we've generally not lived a rebellious life, and we've lived an honorable life, and we have been good, and we've been obedient, and so many Christians are willing and ready to read the Bible that way. They read the Old Testament that way. It's all about morals. It's built into us to read the Bible that way. The book is saying, you're missing the whole witness. Jesus just said, the book that you're reading, you're missing everything. I'm still in amazement when I talk to people in our community about Christianity who go to church. This is what they believe. You're not reading Moses. You don't understand what the intention of the commandments was. So we have two witnesses now I've presented. John the Baptist, who stood closest to Jesus, and they missed it. The whole scriptures, going back all throughout history, were about Jesus, and they missed it. And that's why when you preach something like David and Goliath, it's built into you to think this is about fighting the Goliaths in your life. You missed it. You missed it again. So you have another witness. It's right here. A whole witness. Right in your hands. Who wrote this? Just men? I'll come back to that. Verse 32. There's another who bears witness about me. And I know that the testimony he bears about me is true. I believe there he's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's going to be a big theme. There were other witnesses that Jesus spoke of. Notice what he says. For the works that my Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing bear witness about me that the Father sent me. Big claim. Have any of you ever run around saying that? Think about that. The good works that I'm doing out in the world bear witness the Father sent me here. You would put me in the insane asylum. And the Father who sent me, another witness, himself has bore witness about me. Look at the works. I'm raising the dead. I'm healing the sick. Remarkable. John, Scriptures, Holy Spirit, the Father, all bearing witness. And then it's as if in the prologue, as he's introduced John, this theme, because John is so fascinating because he stood so close to Jesus in relation to history and where he is as the last of the Old Testament great prophets, if you will. You'll notice here that the prologue says something fascinating. This light can be seen everywhere. Did you catch that? This is the true light, back to the prologue, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. His presence, his light, is shining on everyone. What that means is that really the only reason this sad world is still going on, the only reason we have any life in this world, the only reason we get up and enjoy any amount of goodness is because Jesus is risen. Here we are. Think about this. Just to consider the evidence of this light. You say, well, I don't see. Really, we're talking about the skeptic now. I don't see. I've already dealt with the witness. Well, I don't see. I don't see any light. Here we are. Think about this. What nation of the world is there still left? There may be a few, but working hard to where this gospel light has not been taken. The darkest, remotest regions of this big world that we live in, right now, this gospel, this word, this witness is breaking out everywhere. They say that, not in America, but in 15 years, China, where it's most oppressed, will be the most Christian nation in the world. Think about that. This light is shining in the darkness. Here we are, 2000, it is 2019, almost 20. And right now, I am standing up here, born in 1977, standing up here preaching to you. That's crazy. And here are way more mature saints. Here are way more mature people. Here are way better people than me. And this is what I'm doing. And I came from the cow town, Hanford, Lemoore. This is happening all over the world today. I have one great purpose if I'm doing my job. It is to bear witness about the light. Still. What a crazy thought. I'm going to die in God's timing. Who knows when? No one will ever come along and preach the name of Chris Gordon after this. No one. I'll be dead and forgotten. Everywhere over the world, churches are set up right now, true churches, that are preaching him. Oh, the devil's attacked it in every possible way. I know that. I know there's madness out there. But all over the face of the world right now, he has his church. No one is preaching the name today of John the Baptist. No one is even preaching the name of Muhammad, who you could say, well, maybe there's a rival there. Really? No one is preaching the name of Muhammad. They do not believe that Muhammad is God, first off. You never have a statement that's a claim that has been made like this. In the beginning was the Word, and this Word was Muhammad, and this Word was Muhammad, was God. Muhammad was God. Nothing. They would never say that. Who set this up? You hold God's word in your hands. You've got a full revelation in your hand of Him right now. And this book has been preserved all these years. Billions of copies. Nothing comes close. Billions and billions of copies in the history of printing, nothing. Countless teachers and mentors have been set up in your lives to bear witness about Jesus. Do you understand the human impossibility of this? Do you understand the human impossibility of doing this on this globe? You could never pick up a name of some mere person and do this. In the new building, none of you will get a square. Oh, I know on some church pews you'll see Elder John. That's the extent of it. This name? To the ends of the earth. Come on. Come on. Wake up. You haven't considered these things. I haven't considered them like this. Let me give you one more. Witness and evidence. Turn to John 3. Nicodemus is struggling to believe. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. As I said last time, Nicodemus was at all the spaghetti dinners. Nicodemus was at all the pancake bread. He just did everything perfect. Are you a teacher in Israel and don't know these things? You don't know you need life. Listen to what he says in verse 11, the most overlooked verse in John 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness, there it is again, to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. Who's the we? Who's he talking about? It's a powerful verse because I believe what Jesus just did is include everyone who's ever believed this witness. Here's what he's saying. This is something you're not getting, Nicodemus, that many, you're not believing it, you're rejecting the witness, but many, 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 many people do, and they're not just speaking of phantom truths, they're not just speaking of impersonal truths, they're speaking of truths that have changed their lives. Their testimony has evidence. And you want to know what the evidence is? Look at them. Look at their love, by all which all men will know they're my disciples. Their lives are changed. That's what's happened. And right now, all over the face of the world, this is why they'll never be able to stamp it out. God has His people whose hearts are changed. And they're not going back. They're not going back. Because they've seen Jesus. What do you mean you can't see it? Look at the people. They're everywhere. Look around the world right now. They're everywhere. There are countless people running around in this world all week long bearing witness about me, says Jesus. Think about that. Woman at the well, next chapter. Come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. She's doing it right away. And many more believed, it says, because of the word. You sit right now in a church full of people who speak of what we know and of what we have seen. Powerful stuff. It kind of shows how arrogant and ignorant unbelief is, isn't it? If there's anything that we need in our day, though, I have to say to the Christian church, the reason denominations are dying right now, the reason denominations, mainline denominations, have all gone liberal and progressive, the reason they are dead as a doornail, emptying out, and you'd think people would stop and say, man, why is that happening? I'll tell you why. The witness of Jesus is gone. He's not there. It's all about us and our plans and our kingdoms. Well, no wonder the church dies. There's no power in that. But from here this morning, John says two things that are important to consider to this, and this is where we come to the table. There are two responses to this in history, this witness. Notice verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And John now is right back to the big problem. John is back to what we talked about, the darkness. The saddest truth ever is. The saddest truth is, but it explains things for us. It makes things clear for us. God sent his son into the world, the gift to the world. God so loved the world that he gave his son. That is the truth of the matter. And here it is. The world doesn't know him. And that's our greatest frustration. Can't you see it? Look at the ignorance. Look at people right now trying to solve all the world's problems. Seriously. Look at all of the people trying to solve the world's problems. Take our politicians. They don't have a clue. There's not one of them in Capitol Hill right now that doesn't know the name of Jesus. Not one of them. But they don't care about him. They will. Across the world of people, the name is known, but they don't perceive any need for him. In fact, they see him as a great divider and somebody who we need to push out. That's what's happening. And it isn't just the world's problem. It's a religious one. Notice it's a religious one too. Notice what John says. It's not just the world. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The nation. The best you will ever do in this life, if you want to get as close, you think, to God as you can, which isn't get you close, is simply to put on an outward show of religion that really is all about you. That's what the nation of Israel teaches us. Here we get to the issue this morning. We get to the issue when we speak of sin and we speak of human depravity. The Bible doesn't just paint a bleak picture. It paints an absolutely hopeless one. How could God give a gift to the world like this of his beloved son who came, who healed, who loved, who saved, who delivered, and he couldn't even be seen? One reason. That's how dark the human heart is. The natural man can't receive any of this. Why? Greatest witness? He's spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. That's what this book is about to show us. Everybody here, everybody there, everybody here and there, Nicodemus the Pharisee, the woman at the well, the prostitute on the corner, that's why they're juxtaposed. Everyone needs life. We're so used to thinking that Christianity comes down to us making the decision to accept Jesus. We're still not listening to the witness. Still. This witness of him has been given from the beginning. And what happened? He was not received. He was not received. We are completely unable to see him or receive him in our natural state after the fall. That is how dead the human heart is. In fact, statistically speaking, there could be, just like the nation of Israel, people in this room who still search the scriptures thinking that in them they're going to find life because they've made it about them, and they still have not realized and come to whom the scriptures are telling us to come to, Jesus. But now I get to the greatest news in the book. But as many as received him, in other words, there are many who have come. And here's how that happens. Here's how that's possible. This is the greatest news of grace and gospel ever announced. Notice what it says, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, here's what happened. He gave them the right to become children of God, who were born. That's born again, Nicodemus. You need life in the heart. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You need to be born again, said Jesus to Nicodemus. Born from above. You need life. The marvel of it is today is that if you are a believer today, you weren't just smarter than all these people in the world. You were given life. You were given the gift of life in your heart. You did not achieve that by anything in you. You did not get it. You'll notice he says here, by blood. In other words, just because your family's been here multi-generation, that is no basis which you'll ever get into heaven. It's not because mom and dad are here. You'll never make it that way. Notice what he says. Not of blood, not of your bloodlines, not of the will of the flesh. You know what that means? It means you did not get here today because you had some emotional experience in your life, or you heard a voice come to you in your life, and inside of you, in your flesh, because it welled up in excitement, you said, "That's what I need." That's not how it happened. There was nothing in your flesh that made you or made this desirable. It's not the reason you're here today. And then comes the big one, nor of the human will. You did not make the decision in yourself to come to Jesus. You did not have the power to accept him into your life, to accept him as if he needed the acceptance. You don't have the ability. I don't have the ability. You did not say Jesus is more attractive than every other world religion. It wasn't from your upbringing. It wasn't from any of these reasons. Here's why you're here today. You are here today and you received this kingdom. You received your Savior because it was a gift from God. God gave you a gift. God so loved you that he gave you this gift, and then he gave you a new heart to receive it. He did the most overwhelming thing for you in life. He brought you into the family that truly matters, adopted sons and daughters. And because he says, I decided to lavish this upon you in the darkness of your heart, that's why you're here. That is when you know you're beginning to understand the gospel, by the way. Because you see that God opened your heart to receive his Son, to see the light, a light that now has filled you, a light that now has given you life. And you stand back, and what is your response to that? Why me? Why would you do that for me? Because when you have light, you also see the darkness in you. I'm looking at a room right now full of people, I believe, who want to be here, who want to worship in spirit and in truth, because God has opened up your hearts to receive his Son. And now you're receiving that witness and you're loving that witness. Well, I got the best news ever to give then to you than the sad world. You're already passed from death to life. It's over for you. You're already in. You're already a son and daughter. You're already saved. There's no more condemnation. That light is shining on you and emanating from you by the power of the Spirit. And now you are the new creation by his word. And you now have become his witnesses to bear witness about this truth to others who need this light. This good news is not just that Jesus came into the world as a light, but that he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was darkness, but now I'm light. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's why we come to the table today, to celebrate that gift. And with open eyes and with open hearts, believing hearts, we receive this Savior and everything he has to offer us. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a glorious, wonderful salvation. And thank you for showing us today what we need to hear. This witness does not lack. There's evidences everywhere. We just need new hearts to see it and believe it. And thank you that you do that for us too. We give you praise this morning. And let us come to the table with eager hearts receiving your salvation. and the life that flows into us as the Spirit gives life, the life of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.